This afternoon we open the Word of God in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, where we start reading at verse 7 to the end. Page 964 in our Pew Bible, 964. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 7, this is the word of God. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's our scripture passage. The text for the sermon this afternoon is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. and what we confess regarding it in Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50, page 895. Lord's Day 50, where we echo the word of God as follows. What does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. That's Lord's Day 50. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, together, brothers and sisters, we read a part of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. In that sermon, our Savior instructed his disciples concerning the kingdom of heaven. In him, that kingdom of heaven had come to the earth and was among them. It showed itself in that he did the will of his heavenly Father. In him, we can also see at many an occasion how all things were subjected to him. And he called the disciples the children of his kingdom. He gave to them the keys of the kingdom, the word and the exercise of discipline. He sent them out to call the nations to submission. He did so with the guarantees, the kingship is mine. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He forewarned them, as we heard this morning as well, there will be opposition. The ruler of this world will seek to slay you. But this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Faith is the secret in the kingdom of Christ. Faith is the secret in the victory over Satan. By faith alone we pray as children whose citizenship is in heaven. And in Lord's Day 49, beloved, we saw that this entails conversion. The bending of our will to make us of one will with the Father. If we want to see the kingship reflected in our life, we need to change. From day to day, change totally. Then someone expressed the unity between the third and the fourth petition in these words, that my will in me be dead, and your will my daily bread. We learned this from the Lord Jesus, whose daily bread it was to do the will of his heavenly Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, he spelled out this will in great detail, in all its depth. In our life as kingdom children, God the Father wants to be everything to us too. Hence the Lord Jesus presented this new life as a life of pray and work, ora et labora. In the passage we read together, brothers and sisters, we continue in the line of Lord's Day 49. Our office and calling in the place God gives us. We are placed before the question again, what are you seeking with your place and station in life? Of what Are you so full in your daily pursuits? Are you full of Father's work in church and kingdom, or of your own things? Then as you ponder that question honestly and sincerely, you realize how much we are still standing with our whole being in the midst of the struggle against the devil, against the world, and against especially our own flesh. It is with a view to our physical and spiritual needs, therefore, that we now need to learn to pray the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray this as citizens in the kingdom of heaven who are working in their daily calling in the midst of this hostile world. Thus, in line with our previous petitions, we plead upon the word and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying, "Our Father, equip us in body and soul for your service." Then we see two things. First of all, we are redeemed for your service. And secondly, we are dependent in your service. So that's how I would like to summarize the message of this afternoon. Our Father, equip us in body and soul for your service. We are redeemed for your service. We are dependent in your service. So first of all, we are redeemed for your service. So as I said, brothers and sisters, this petition is a prayer as children of God's kingdom. By it, we acknowledge that we could not live as such without God the Father's care for our body and soul. We need a body that is able to serve at the place God gives us in his kingdom, and we need a soul that's comforted, strengthened, motivated for that service. Hence, we pray, give us this day our daily bread, which the Catechism explains as matter for body and soul. Provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge, confess God in word and deed, thankfully showing him as the only source of everything good and seeking his blessings in our whole life. Obviously, beloved, the children of the kingdom of heaven who pray this petition are not just praying for bodily sustenance, which everybody needs, but for all around strength for kingdom service. Christ is teaching this petition. He redeemed us from the kingdom of evil, of the evil one, to the kingdom of God. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So also by our prayer of this petition, we end up standing opposite the world. By the second petition, we prayed the throne of Satan out of our life. Your kingdom come. Not Satan's any longer. By the third petition, we ask God's help in denying our will, which is inclined to conformity with this world. Now, in this fourth petition, we maintain the antithesis. We pray against this world of bread and games, against the mentality of foods and fashions, of greed and gambling, of materialism and capitalism. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, the Lord Jesus says in our scripture passage. Your heavenly Father, however, knows what you need, he adds. So in Christ, brothers and sisters, our life in the body, our life on earth, meets its purpose again. In Christ, our life makes sense again. In that way, our life stands in contrast to the way of life, the way of thinking among the masses in this world. By this petition, therefore, we seek the protection against ourselves. We are not immune to the sins of the spirit of the age, especially where it pertains to matters such as food, clothing, shelter, and other material needs. We need to deny our own inclination of running after all these things, of slaving to keep up with the Joneses, of worrying as if we have it in our own hand to provide. Therefore, by his prayer instruction, Christ teaches us to lay this all into the Father's hands. Help us to live and work as your redeemed children in the sure confidence that you, as our Father, will continue to provide for your children as you have always done so faithfully. Or do you think that this instruction by our Savior is redundant, beloved? Do you not recognize in his description of our daily reality your daily routines? We eat, drink, sleep. We try to make the most of it, enjoy life, improve ourselves, enrich ourselves, and seek to accomplish certain goals in terms of standards of living, work out some ideals for the future. We ourselves are in the center most of the time. We are inclined to live for ourselves. Actually, seeing that this is man's inclination, it's amazing that God the Father has sustained mankind this far the way he did. As the Apostle Paul expresses in one of the proof texts, Acts chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, in the past, he left all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Acts 14. You wonder why he would actually feed, dress, and enrich the lives of people who show such a selfish lifestyle, which is in blatant denial and defiance to God. Well, that's why we first learn to pray, help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will. Now Christ has redeemed us already, so that we in our life would live for God's name again, serve in his kingdom, and seek to do his will. In Christ, it therefore makes sense as well to pray for our daily bread, for clothing and shelter, for health and strength, because we are eager to use those things for the right purposes again. God's kingdom. Or are we? Let's then first examine ourselves, beloved, to see whether that is indeed our heartfelt desire, our spiritual zeal. Otherwise, our prayer for daily bread would be a lie. Do we desire health and strength and all our bodily needs for our service in God's kingdom, for God's sake? Or are we still selfish, still seeking to pamper ourselves, still pursuing our own well-being and standards for self-centered reasons? Oh, we may trust our Savior's words in our passage that our Heavenly Father knows that in our day and age, we need a lot for that service, our cars, our computers, our equipment, our tools, our facilities, you name it. That's not the point. The point is, do we seek provisions for all our needs in a life in God's service again? Or still in a life that's lived for ourselves? If so, we must need pray for them. Filled with great zeal for his service, we must plead with him to equip us with the means for that service. Even though we have been delivered in Christ from sin, brothers and sisters, and even though we belong to Christ with body and soul, there still are the effects of sin in body and soul. There still is the sickness, the tiredness, the mental limitations. In view of that too, we have to pray and work. We must pray for health, and we must show our sincerity in prayer by promoting our health. Father, provide me with a healthy body for my service in your kingdom, and help us that we may so direct our life that we also live wisely, eat regularly, use the necessary relaxation, exercises, etc. Then this sincerity precludes, of course, that we harm our body with smoking, drinking, or drugs, eating unwisely, as even the world calls the food some are eating junk food, or live as a workaholic. No, then whatever the Father does provide should be used with thanksgiving for the enhancement of our kingdom service. Our breathing, inhaling, exhaling, our speaking, our time management, our task divisions must be determined by our position as children of God's kingdom. For what privilege it is that by the grace of the Father we may serve. Then in our prayer we confess, beloved, that there is not a thing in our life which we may or can exclude from this kingdom service. All our bodily needs must be met by our Father, who is the owner and giver of everything. We have seen that in the 8th commandment, therefore, we now call at the right address for our needs. Give us what we need for our service in your kingdom. Praying this in our families, it should be evident to our children that this is where we use his gifts. Our children's attention, beloved, must also be drawn to this kingdom. They must learn as well that kingdom service is not a matter of making as much as money as possible to spend it on yourselves, but rather a calling in God's kingdom in which the income is provided to further that kingdom. In their case, that includes already voluntary contributions for the Church of the Lord, promoting reformed education as long as possible, supporting their own needs just as much as their parents show them their support, saving for the future development of their talents, etc. That's how they may learn, not only in words, but also in deeds. In words, we confess on the basis, as the basis and goal of reformed education, in Article 12 of the Belgian Confession, we believe that he also continues to sustain and govern them according to his eternal providence and by his infinite power in order to serve man to the end that man may serve his God. Then also in deeds they will learn to direct their desires, wishes, goals, and purposes towards the kingdom of the Father. Yes, then we all together, parents and children, single ones, older and younger members, we may involve ourselves with new zeal in this new year and resolve in this pursuit of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in the confidence and trust that the Father will provide in all the things we need for that service. So that's first. Secondly, we are dependent in your service. When we are sanctified to live for the Father, brothers and sisters, it means that we are also set apart to depend on the Father. That's not easy. How much we are inclined to do things our way because we feel that we have to do it. We have to make it. In our work, even in our prayer, God the Father does not stand out too much as the one who is in control. Remember how we learned from the first commandment that we should have no other gods before us, that is, that we should not have anything in the place of God or beside Him on which to place our trust. Then also in that regard, we must confess in our prayer, Father, in this respect too, I don't even have a small beginning of the new obedience. I still trust myself, my insight in society, my competence in my job, my view of management, my standards of income so much that I can hardly afford trusting in you, the Father, alone. Beloved, with us, there is so much also the attitude which we see in the captain of King Joram, 2 Kings 7, in the days of the prophet Elisha. When the Lord promised to put an end to the famine due to the siege of the Syrians, then the captain had said, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" Well, it's been said in our discussions too sometimes, if I've heard, "You have easy talking. It sounds nice that we should put the Lord first and seek His kingdom and trust that He will give us all things we need. Nice. But is the Lord going to rain dollars? Is He going to send a check in the mail to pay the mortgage, to pay my bills?" Now, of course, beloved, it's true that there are many needs. Prices are high, bills are many, and the cost of living is worrisome. Yet, should that then not drive us out to God in prayer more? If only we would stand in the midst of all those needs more as a child of the Father. He gave us His Son. Would He then not with Him give us all things? The important question for our self-examination this afternoon really is, beloved, are we not living materialistically too much still? And spiritually, too little. It shows so little that we are Christians in our dependence on God, in our needs for God, in our trust in God. Instead, it is the dollar we trust, the circumstances which make us, and basically we are depending on ourselves. We are God, from whom and through whom and for whom are all things. That's why we should not be surprised that there are so many worries, complaints, and so little thanksgiving and joy. We are puttering around all week, slaving and sweating, and then it's hard to get excited or involved on Sunday. From the Apostle Paul, therefore, we must learn by renewal, beloved, that all these matters are very spiritual. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says about Israel that they all ate the same spiritual food. True, they all ate manna, which you only had to pick up and prepare for food. However, Paul says, they received it because of the coming Christ. That's why the manna was called spiritual. The spirit of the coming Messiah came along in it. In the same way, our daily bread, our entire involvement in making a living may be called spiritual. Even though it may contain so many calories, vitamins, proteins, carbs, fat, you name it, we receive it, however, from our spiritual and eternal Father in heaven. You know, two people may be eating their sandwich. For the one, it's just earthly bread and nothing more. And such a one will be cast away from the earth. While for the other person, this earthly bread is a heavenly gift. He will be accepted as heir of the new earth and will never hunger or thirst anymore. That's how things are. They come so very close, they look so much the same, yet there is a world of difference. Remember, beloved, how the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 as well reminded the congregation of the manna in the wilderness. He did so with a view to the needs of the congregation. When the Lord blesses the one with so much and the other with so much more, in the congregation of the Lord, this all finds its purpose and application. Regardless of the circumstances, the Father takes care. We depend on His blessing. It's a matter of faith in His love in Jesus Christ. So also the fourth petition is based on our faith that nothing can separate us from this love of God in Jesus Christ. No tribulation in the job market, or distress in the housing situation, or persecution from the side of the competitors, or famine in the money supply or freezer contents, or nakedness because my job loss cost me my shirt, or whatever peril can be in store in the economic conditions. On the contrary, by such a life of dependence on God and involvement in His kingdom, we become more than conquerors. Conquerors also over our chronic complaining, our selfish scraping, our unbelieving stewardship. Now, do you know where that victory starts, beloved? Here, in church. By faith, we are more than conquerors. In the firm belief that if God is for us, who or what can be against us? With the strong confidence that He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also give us all things with Him? There. So how and where do we learn to pray the fourth petition in faith? In the church, by the word and the use of the sacraments. Yes, by the water of baptism and by the bread and wine at the Lord's table, we are reminded and assured of God's faithfulness toward us. Those signs, water, bread, and wine, are at the same time the main staples people needed for their daily sustenance. Those signs remind us, too, of God's faithfulness, that as a father, he will take care of us, provide for us all things we need, avert all evil or turn it to our benefit. Brothers and sisters, then this sermon is also an encouragement to make sure that the ministry of the word may continue, that the bread and wine can be purchased, and all that's needed to maintain our service to God. Thus, we first seek his kingdom and church. We start with the Lord in obedience. And then you may count on it that he will bless your life abundantly with physical and spiritual blessings. However, if that would not be your approach, if we would put our houses, our conveniences, our desires, our standards, our ideals first, like they did in Haggai's days, we will find that we will never have enough. We'll never be done improving, enhancing, enriching. That is, that we will have a hole in our wallets, as Haggai put it. And if we would not want to hear, beloved, what the Spirit says to the churches, we may have to feel what the Father does in his love by disciplining his children. Be not a fool who has no understanding, but he who trusts in God is well protected. Therefore, trust in the Lord and do good, so you will dwell in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Amen.